Today's daf in the daf yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, daf mem tes. And we're about a quarter of the way down to the daf already in the Omer Aleph, and we're at the Mishnah. So we begin discussing another aspect of hatmona. Hatmona, again, is insulating. The basic rule is you're not allowed to insulate, even on Erev Shabbos, with something that is mosif hevel, that adds to the heat, but you're allowed to use materials that are just maintaining the heat. So this Mishnah continues and tells us, one is permitted to be tomnin, one is allowed to insulate, bichsus. This basically means some sort of a garment or some sort of material, some cloth material. And ubiperos, one can use peros. Rashi explains this means chitin v'kitnios. This means grains, wheat, and beans. They can be used as insulating materials. It's not a problem. B'chan feyona, Rashi explains over here, this means the notza, which means the feathers of the bird. We specifically talk here about a yona, because Klai Yisrael is often referred to as a yona. We'll discuss this a little bit more in the Gemara. The Vilna Gaon, as brought down by the Mishnah Berurah, says that we specifically mentioned over here the notzos, the feathers of a yona, because that was the commonly used thing. There were other feathers that would be acceptable as well, but this was the commonly used thing. And finally, ubinisorish shel charoshim. Rashi explains over here that this is basically the sawdust, shemenasrin hanagorim mino etzim. So this is the little pieces of sawdust that are left behind after you chop up a tree and you shave it down and you use it. So this is the sorish shel charoshim. And likewise, in the orish shel pishdan. So this refers basically to, Rashi says, Rashi is here a little bit out of order. This is dak. We delete the word according to the Rif and the Rush in the Gemara in the Mishnah, daka, because Rashi explains that this, by definition, this shneoris means the dak, the little pieces, shneorim in a pishdan, that come off from the flax. And this is what we're referring to as insulating material. So again, these four types of insulating material, the clothing, the various types of fruits, the wheat and the kitnios, the feathers of a yona, and the sawdust, actually it's five, and the neorishal pishdan, the pieces of pishdan. So all of these are allowed to be used as insulating materials because they all do not add heat, they just maintain heat. On the other hand, Rav Yehuda disagrees. Rav Yehuda oser bidako. We'll see in the Gemara that he's talking only about over here, the neorishal pishdan. He says the small pieces, in fact, are no good. They are mosif hevel. Umati bagasa, but the large pieces, they don't really add heat. They just maintain the heat. They're allowed. The Gemara will say, is he going on all of the things, or is he only going on the last thing? We'll say he's ultimately only going on the last thing, the Na'orishal Pishtar. The Gemara starts off and says, Amar Rav Yanai. Rav Yanai tells us. Now, this is an aside over here, since we mentioned something about the Kanfiyona. So we mentioned another din about Kanfiyona. So he tells us, we'll see, it takes a second to get to this connection, tefillin, tzrichin guf noki. When a person wears his tefillin, so he has to have a guf noki. He's not allowed to have something on his body that is not noki. In other words, a person has, Rachman Lassan, excrement on his body. So that's a problem. If a person passes gas, that's a problem. So Rav Yanai says, when you're wearing tefillin, not only must you have your mind clean, you have to have no hesach hadas, you have to concentrate on the tefillin, but you also have to have a physically clean body. And he says this is like Elisha Baal Kinofayim, like the person known as Elisha Baal Kinofayim, which the Gemara will tell us a story about him in a second, that this is the connection over here to our Mishnah. We talked about the Kanfiyona, so it's known as Baal Kinofayim. Elisha was the one who was Baal Kinofayim, as the story will tell us in a second. So what do we mean first by a clean body, Gufnoki, Maihi? What exactly is this? So the Gemara says, Abaye Omar, Abaye explains, Shelo Yofiach Bem. It means that you have to be careful that you don't pass gas. A person who passes gas while he's wearing tefillin is a terrible thing. So a person has to make sure his guf is naki, he doesn't pass gas. Rava Omar, Rava, Tosa says, doesn't disagree with Abaye. He agrees that you're not allowed to pass gas, but Rava goes one step further and says, Omar, Shelo Yisham Behem. You can't sleep in them because when a person is sleeping, he may pass gas. So Rava doesn't disagree with Abaye's statement, but he adds on to it and says, Shelo Yisham Behem. A person has to be careful that he doesn't sleep with the tefillin. As Rashi says, Shemu Yafiach, because he may pass gas, or Yira Keri. Rashi adds that he also may have a seminal discharge. Tosus disagrees with that and says that's not the concern over here, but Rashi says it's either passing gas or having a seminal discharge. Avam Yochel Yizar, Shelo Yishan Behem, but if a person is careful that he won't fall asleep while he's wearing his tefillin, so then that's considered a Gof Naki, and we don't have to be concerned, Bahafacho Shechol Muhammad Atzmon, because a person can stop himself from passing gas if he's awake. Okay. So that's Abaye and Rava's opinion about what a gufnoki is. So, v'amai korele baal kinofayim. Now we get to the point of why this story is brought down over here, why this din is brought down over here. Why is it called Kelisha baal kinofayim? So Gemara says, shepam achas gozra malchus romi harishah gzeri yisrael. One time the Roman government, again, unfortunately, it was a regular occurrence. One time they specifically made gzeira against Klai Yisrael, against wearing tefillin. The guy always understand what is going to make Klal Yisrael strong. And they always made these spiritual gezeiros against Shabbos, against Bris Milah, against wearing tefillin, because they knew that these things are essentials, fundamentals of being a Yid. And even our enemies, the Goyim, the Romans, they understood this and knew that they could attack Klal Yisrael by attacking us at our fundamental things and removing those things. That's why it's so difficult for so many people nowadays. When we unfortunately don't have a minyan. We can't go to shul. We can't be together as Klal Yisrael because of COVID. So therefore, that's why it's so difficult for so many people. In any event, the Romans decreed the following: Gozumach Shromi Harshah Gizero Yisrael, Shekola Miniach Tfilin, anybody that wears tfilin, Yinakuris Mocha Rahman al Sam, they're gonna puncture his brain. They're gonna crush him. His head is where you wear the tfilin, so they're gonna crush his head, they're gonna puncture his head. However, there are great people in Klal Yisrael that always went out of their way to demonstrate that we don't listen to these types of gezeiros. And Elisha Baal Kenafayim was one of them, and he went around demonstrating to people that, no, you have to wear your tefillin. It's only when he saw the Romans that he would hide his tefillin. But he wanted to show them, no, unless it's actually that moment, b'shas adchak, so you have to go wear your tefillin. Vaya Elisha menicham, and he would put on his tefillin, v'yotzi l'shuk, to demonstrate them, before Hashem explained. He wanted to demonstrate to everybody, you must wear tefillin. Don't take this decree as absolute, that's it, end of wearing tefillin. No, you want to demonstrate to people that you have to wear tefillin? No. There are, Kastor, when the Kastor, Rashi explains over here, was a certain type of a minister, Shoyim Munal Kach, he was like the police in charge of making sure that nobody wears tefillin. So, Verol Kastor Achad, one time, this minister, this officer, saw him wearing tefillin, Rots Mipanim. So, Elisha Balkafayim ran away. He saw that this Kazdor was there, so therefore he took off his tefillin, he ran away. But the Kazdor sees a Yid running, and he runs after him. The Kazdor catches up to the Jew. So quickly, Elisha Baal Kenafayim took off his tefillin shel rosh, and he held it in his hand, so as if he's not wearing it. So Amalo, the Kazdor says, Mazeh v'yodecho, what do you got in your hand? And he knew, he thought he was wearing tefillin. So Amalo, Kanteyona, he says, I'm holding a bird over here in my hand. I have the wings of a bird in my hand. I'm not wearing tefillin. He stretched out his hand, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu made an ace for him that his tefillin turned into Kanfiyona. Therefore, from that point on, he was known by this miracle. He was known as Elisha, the Baal Kenafayim, the one who had the wings of the dove in his hand. Incidentally, that's why many people wrap their tefillin. When they wrap their tefillin up, they put some of the ritzuos on one side and some of the ritzuos on the other side of the box of the tefillin when they're wrapping them up. And therefore, this is to remind us of this unbelievable nace that happened to Elisha Baal Kenafayim. He was most nefesh to go and wear tefillin. Interestingly, the Radak says over here, why bedavka a dove? So Radak says that the doves were homing pigeons, and therefore they weren't eaten. Their wings saved them, so to say, the Radak said, and that's why we use bedavka, this idea of the kanfeyona over here, saving Klal Yisrael, just like their wings saved the owner from being eaten. It's not just a regular bird. This is a homing pigeon. We can use it to transmit messages over distances, so therefore the wings saved them, so too the kanfeyona saved Klal Yisrael over here, the tefillin saved Klal Yisrael. And that's really what the Gemara says. Why specifically over here, Kanfiyonu? My Shnor Kanfiyonu Mishar Ophos. What makes the dove, the Yona, unique, so to say, as opposed to other birds over here? Why did Bedavka turn into a Kanfiyona? So Rashi explains over here that Klal Yisrael is compared to these doves. Mishum de Imsil Knes Yisrael Yona. That the Gemara says that Klal Yisrael is compared to a Yona. Where do we see that? Shenemar Kanfiyona nechbe bekesef v'gomer, pasuk in Tehillim, and it explains over there that the Yona is, so to say, covered with silver. My Yona kinofea magino soleha, just like the Yona, its wings protected. Afisol mitzos meginos aleim, so too Klal Yisrael, the mitzos, which are comparison over here to the wings of the dove, they protect us. Rashi explains, min hatzina, the wings of the dove protected from the cold. The feathers over here, whom we call Ov, and other from other birds, and from Adam, Habola, and from a man that attacks it. So he fights, the dove fights over here, Umaka Barosh, Gapa, and it hits the person or hits the other birds with its wings. Masha'en came to Shar Ophos. Other birds apparently don't do this. So therefore, the Gemara compares us to the Tilim, compare us over here to Kanfiyona, and that's always an expression that Klal Yisrael is Kanfiyona. We're like a dove, we're like the wings of the dove, that our mitzvos protect us just like the wings of a dove protect it. Okay. The Gemara continues, says, Minisorish el Charoshin v'chule. Another thing that you can use over here, we said, for insulation, was the sawdust. Then v'chule goes on the next thing, that's the Naorish el Piston, that's like the little pieces of flax over here that came off. So now, when Rabbi Yehuda makes his statement, is he going back on only the Neorah Shel Pishton, or is he going back and saying even the Nesorah Shel Charoshim? That's what the Gemara is asking. Yibarlu, Rabbi Yehuda, on Nesorah Shel Charoshim Kai, was he going back on the previous statement as well, that if it's Daka, it's not allowed to be used, it will be Mosif Hevel, it's only if it's Gasev, it's large, that you're allowed to use it? Oh, on Neorah Shel Pishton Kai, or is he only going on the last thing, the Neorah Shel Pishton? So the Gemara says, Toshma, bring your Braisa that says the following, to Tanya. Bryce said, we'll have on Daf Nun Aleph. Reviewed Omer, Neorah Shel Pishton, Daka, Harehi Kizevel. Reviewed specifically states it's only by the Neorah Shel Pishton when it's small that it's like Zevel. Zevel was an example of something that we said is Mosif Hevel. Shmami Nut. We're going to say it here, Beferish in the Bryce, that Reviewed is only going on the last part, the Neorah Shel Pishton. Shmami Nut, on Neorah Shel Pishton Koi, that's a good Raya, Shmami Nut. That, in fact, is the correct understanding of Yehuda. He's only arguing with the Tanakama on the small Neorah Shel Pishton. Yehuda says that that's no good, that's Mosif Hevel. But on the Nesorah Shel Charoshim and on the previous things, he's not arguing. Next Mishnah. Tomnim bishlochin. A person is allowed to insulate with shlochin. What are shlochin? So Rashi tells us oros, their hides. And he brings down the tagum of the word, v'yifshidis ola, when we say if the flay the ola, he says vishalach. So shalach over here, shlochin, are hides. So that's what you're allowed to insulate with. The Mishnah tells us tomnim bishlochin. And as well, the Mishnah says, umetaltin losan, and you're allowed to move them, they're not muktza. So Rashi says, this is true, ben shetoman behem, whether you did hatmana with them, ben shalom toman behem. If you didn't do hatmana behem, a hide is not considered muktza. It could be used for insulation, but even if you're not using it for insulation, it's not muktza. Why? Rashi says, the chazgu lemizkolai, because you can sit on it, you can use it as a cushion, you can use it as a mat. So therefore, hides aren't considered muktza. Tomnim bishlochen, you're allowed to do atmana with them, and you're allowed to move them, they're not muktzah. However, begize tzemer, with the wool that you're cutting off, so then, that you're allowed to be tomein with, however, you're not allowed to go, and ein metaltin osa, you're not allowed to go move it. The Gemara will discuss this more in detail, exactly what we're referring to over here, but right now the Mishnah says, what should a person do in this situation? He just did hatmana with his pot. He has his cholin pot over there, which is insulated with the gizei tzemer, but you're not allowed to move the gizei tzemer. That's what the Mishnah seems to be telling us over here. So, what are you supposed to do in order to go and get your cholin out of the pot? So he says, in this situation, no telesaki, so you take the cover of the cholin pot and you lift it off. And this way, the insulated material, the gizei tzemer, that you had on top of the cholin pot, so they're going to fall off, they ain't no flows, and this is called the tiltum minatzad, and it's not a problem for you to go and do this. The Gemara was going to discuss as well, doesn't the pot become a basis l'davar or asur? So how are you allowed to go move the pot cover? So the Mepharshim will explain that the pot cover never is there for being a basis for the gizei tzemer. It was there as a pot cover. And therefore, anything that happens to be on it is irrelevant, and therefore, this pot cover doesn't become a basel sodavar also for this gizei tzemer that are also to move because they are muktza. That's the first statement over here in the Mishnah. Relezin Azayi says, no, kupa, you take over here this box, this pot over here, and mate altsida vinota. So you take the entire pot and you tilt the pot, and the things will fall off it, and the gizei tzemer fall off it, and no problem. In this way, you're allowed to go get the contents of the pot out. That's what Reloza says. You take this kupa and mate altsida and push it to its side. Rashi explains over here. Kishabal lito lakdera, when you go and want to take this pot, mata kupa altsida. The kdera and the kupa are the same thing. And he says you should just tilt it and not remove it over here because he says, Shema Yitol, if you were to actually take the cholin pot away over here, then yochel hasir. And then the gizei tzemer fell in on the place where the cholin pot was. You wouldn't be able to go put the cholin pot back. So he says just tilt the cholin pot to get the food out of it. And then you can leave it there amongst the insulated material so it will stay hot if somebody else wants doubles, if somebody else wants a second portion. That's why you don't remove it from there. However, the Chachamim say, no, Tolumatzer. You can remove it from over there, and you can put it back, and it's not a problem. Rashi says, the Gemara will explain, how come it's not a problem? Fine. Gemara starts and says, Yosef Rav Yonah's son, Ben Achinoi. We have a number of Amoraim sitting over here. The first one is Rav Yonah's Ben Achinoi, and Rav Yonah's son, Ben Elazar. So these two Rav Yonah's sons, one the son of Achinoi, and one the son of Rabbi Elazar, so they were both sitting there. And then the Yosef also sitting there was Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama Gabayu. He came to join them, and he sits with the two Rav Yonasans. And he asked the two Rav Yonasans the following shaya. Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama asked the two Rav Yonasans the following shaya. Shlochin Shobal HaBayis Tanan. When we said in our Mishnah that you're allowed to use the hides, they're used for insulating, and they're not muktza, was he talking about Tanan, only talking about the shlochin of a Bal HaBayis? Avol shel uman, but a professional tanner, kivon de kopet alai, he doesn't want his hides to get ruined by people using them for insulation. He wants to sell them. And if they have stains on them, if they're crushed in some way, he's not going to be able to sell them. Therefore, he's kopet alai, and therefore, lo metaltalin alahu, and therefore, he doesn't want them to be used for the insulation. If somebody went and uses it, it's still muktza, because he wants to make sure that it gets sold for the best price, and therefore, lo metaltalin alahu. Oh, Dilma, no, even the shel uman, even the shlachim, the hides of an uman, the Mishnah says, Tanan, that you're allowed to go and use them for insulation, and they don't become muktzah, even the uman, and certainly, koshikain, shabala bais, and certainly the bala bais you're allowed to. So again, the question is, when the Mishnah said the shlachim, is it talking only about a private person shlachim, because he doesn't care that much if they get ruined, or is it even talking about a uman, a professional tanner's shlochim, and he does care about them, he's makbid about them, and therefore they're muktzah because he's still reserving them for tanning use and not for insulation alone. So that's the question that Rabbi Chanina asked the two Rabbi Yonasans. So Amalu, Rabbi Yonas ben Elazar, so one of the Rabbi Yonasans, Rabbi Yonas ben Elazar, answers, he says, Mistavr shal bala bayis nan. Mistama, we're talking here that it's only that the bala bayis is shlochim. Avol shel uman, if it was the professional, kapit alayu, he's going to say, this costs me money. I'm going to lose this valuable hide over here if we use it for this purpose. And therefore, while it was used for insulating, it's still muktza because he's kapit alayu. That's what Rav Yonas ben Elazar answers. So, Amalu Rabbi Chanina bar Chama. So Rabbi Chanina bar Chama, who was the one that originally asked the question, so he said, kacha marishmo Rav Yossi. That isn't the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel Rav Yossi. We turn to Yom Beis. What did he say? Rabbi Shmuel Rav Yossi said, Abba, my father, Shalcha Abba. Rav Yossi was a uman la'abed oros. As Rashi says, he was a professional tanner. And he told us, V'yomar, heviu shlochin v'nei shiv alayu. And he didn't mind. Rashi says this was on a weekday. He told his family, he told the members over there that were present with him, bring out some hides, heviu shlochin, bring them out, and we will sit on them. Alma, what do you see? Rav Chanina says, lo kapit. He says that the hides, the professional tanners over here, aren't makbid about the hides. They're not going to get ruined, and they're therefore allowed to be used, and they're not considered mukta. That's the way Rashi understands it. Tosus brings down from the Rabbeinu Chananel, he says, v'amar habil lishlochen b'shabis. The chiddush over here was that Rav Yossi over here, who was the professional tanner, so he went and said, on Shabbos you can do this, and that, he says, is a bigger raya, v'alochi Rav Yossi, the kind of Lord Maiser Rav. And Tosus, the Rabbeinu Chananel, he brings down that this is a Maiser Rav. Whenever you have a story, and it demonstrates that was actually done the Maisa, that's much stronger than just bringing rayas in from the theoretical-based Medrash world. Fine. So therefore, the conclusion right now is that even a professional tanner's hides, so they're allowed to be used on Shabbos, they're not considered muktza. Meitzvah, more questions this, and it says, Nusarin shobala bayis metalton osan, b'shalumun e metalton osan. It said that the boards of a bala bayis, the nisarim of a bala bayis, so they're allowed to be moved on Shabbos. But for the professional, the builder, so he's the construction guy, and he has boards over here, so e metalton osan, they are mukts on Shabbos. Why? Because he's makbid on them. As Rashi says, shemri yiskalklu, they're going to get ruined. However, if he intends before Shabbos, he says, I'm going to use them for a table to give pas to my guests. So benkach or benkach, even the professional, and certainly the balabais's boards, they're allowed to be moved. So what do you see clearly here? That the uman, the professional, is makbid. So he's makbid on his nesarim. So mistama, that the tanner is also makbid on his hides. So just like you can't use the boards unless you were specifically mazmin them, because you're makbid on them, they're going to get ruined and it's going to be financial loss. So too, the professional tanner is makbid on his hides and you can't move them. They're mukta. So Mori says, no, there's a difference between hides and boards. Shine in nesarim. The nesarim, the carpet alayu, they're much more likely to get ruined. That's why she says, shemo yiskalkalu. As opposed to the hides, they're not really going to get ruined. So even the professional tanner says, what's the big deal if you use them? They're not going to get ruined. So no riot. Toshma. Oros, hides, we said, bein avudin, ubein she'ein avudin, a hide, whether it's been fully processed. Avudin means it's been fully tanned, so it's a usable hide, it's leather now. Ubein she'ein avudin, or even if it hasn't yet been fully tanned, mutter l'taltalon b'Shabbos, they're not mukts on Shabbos. Now, that's what the Brisa says. What's the difference then between avudin or not avudin? If they're both allowed to be used, they're both not considered muktzah. So lomru avudin, the only reason that we mention about a tanned hide is different than a non-tanned hide, elele inyan tumah bovad, only in regards to inyan tumah. As Rashi says, the avudin makablin tumah, the tanned hide, it's now a piece of leather, it's now considered a kli, and therefore it is makabel tumah. And before it's tanned, lo shein avudin, but the hide before it's tanned is not considered like a kli, it's not finished, and therefore it's not makabel tumah. So the only difference between a tanned hide and a non-tanned hide is in regards to hilchus tumah. But in regards to hilchus muktzah, they're both allowed to be moved on Shabbos. So that's the brisa. The Gemara says, my love, aren't we talking about lo shna shabal habayis, the lo shna shaluman? This seems to agree with the idea that even in uman's hide is not considered muktzah. So therefore, let us bring a raya from this brisa to what the understanding of a Mishnah should be. The Gemara says, lo, shabal habayis. This brisa is only talking about the hides of a bal habayis. There is no difference between whether they're muktzah or not, whether they're tanned or not. There's no difference between them in regards to muktzah. And the only difference whether they're tanned or not is in regards to chus tumah. But that implies, avol shel uman, the professional tan his hides, my, what's the locha? Ein metaltlin. He wouldn't let you go and move his hides because he's makbid on them. Mor says, if that's true, I hachi, ha de tani velo amru avudin elolinyan tumah bilvad, that which we said in this brisa, that the only difference between a tanned and a non-tanned hide is in regards to tumah. So then, instead of giving us tumah, which is a totally new din, liflog velisne bidida, you could have given us the difference between a tanned and a non-tanned hide in the actual din of the muktzah or not, and say b'medvar mamurim, when there's no difference between them, b'shel balabayis, a tanned hide or a non-tanned hide, the balabayis makes no difference. Avol b'shel uman, in regards to a professional tanner, lo, there is a difference between a tanned hide, which would be muktzah, and a non-tanned hide, which would not be muktzah. So Gemara says that's not the right understanding. In fact, kula b'bal habayis kumayri, the entire brice is only talking about a balabayis. And this, in fact, is the way to understand that Mishnah. And indeed, Kitanoi, there's a machlokis over here amongst the Tanoim that we have. The way to understand this brisa is that it's only talking about a bias, but an uman is makpid, and then you have another brisa that says the uman is not makpid, and this is the machlokis Tanoim. Oros of Balabayis, the brisa states over here that the oros of the Balabayis is only metalful no son, vishal uman a metalful no son. That's the understanding, that there is a difference between the uman, he's makpid on it, and the Balabayis is not. However, then you have the opinion of Yossi, who says, Omer, he holds, Echoze ve'echoze metalta no son. He says, no, the Uman is not makpid, and therefore there is no difference between Uman and a balabais in regards to whether the hides are muktzah. So this is a machlokis tanoim. We have two different options as to how to learn on Mishnah. Now, these three Amoraim, the two Rav Yonah's sons, and Rabbi Chanina, they were all sitting there, and they sat there again and discussed another din. Hado Yasvi. They were, three of them were sitting, the Komabayalu, and they asked the following Shaila. Hadit Nan, we learn later on in the Masechta, we're going to learn on Daf Ayin Gimel, that's where the Av Melachos are discussed. So it tells us, Avos Melachos Arboim Choser Achas. There are 39, 40 minus 1, is the way we refer to it. There are 39 Av Melachos on Shabbos. Kenegid me, where did this number 39, so to say, come from? So Gemara says, Amalu Rabbi Chanina bar Chama. Rabbi Chanina bar Chama tells to the two Rabbi Yonah's sons, and he says, "Kineged avodos haMishkan." He says there were 39 malachas that they did in putting up the Mishkan, in preparing for the Mishkan, and those are the 39 av malachas of Shabbos are based upon what was allowed in the Mishkan is not allowed on Shabbos. That's Rabbi Chanina bar Chama's understanding. Amalu Rabbi Yonah ben Elazar. Again, Rabbi Yonah ben Elazar says to him, Kachama Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yossi ben Lakunya. He says, no, there's another understanding over here. Kineged milocha, milachto, umilechas shebetorah. He says, count up all the times in the Torah. It says these words, milocha, milachto, umilechas. And that would be arboim choser achas. That comes up to be 40 minus 1, 39. And therefore, we learn out this concept. He's not disagreeing that it's based upon what are those 39 things. They're based upon what they did in the Mishkan, but he says it's alluded to in the number of times that it says melacha, melachto, meleches. Now, all the mepharshim over here discuss, if you count it up, there are many more times. So they go through specific explanations. You can see this in the Rabbeinu Chananu clearly says you exclude these over here, you exclude those over here, and you're left with 39 times where it uses the word melacha or melachto or meleches. And there are some that suggest that if you actually count up the word meleches, it's actually 39. But it seems to say over here in Gemara that it's not just meleches, it includes other things as well. In any event, how you get to this 39 times, that's a big discussion. And the Gemara, in fact, discusses it as well. By Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef says, by Yosef HaTzadik, the day that he came back, and it says, Vayovo habayis lasos melachto. He was, everybody else was going out, Potifar, and all the people were going out to worship the Avodah Zarah that day. And it says that Yosef HaTzadik came back to the house, lasos melachto, this word melachto. So there's a famous machlokus between Rav and Shmuel. What does it mean he came back to do his work? It meant he literally came back to do his work, or at melachto is a kinoy over here if he came back to have an affair with Ashes Potifar, Rachmona Litzlan. So the Gemara is questioning over here, boy Rav Yosef, when it says the word melachto in this maisa with Yosef HaTzadik, so mimin yona, who? Olo. Is this one of those 39, or is this totally separate? So Amalei Abaye responds to his Rebbe Rav Yosef, and he says, v'leisi sefer Torah, let us bring out a sefer Torah here, v'limni, and we'll count up how many times the word melacho, melachto, melechus is written, and we'll see, is this included in 39 or not? After all, me lo amar Rabba bar Barchanan, amar Yochanan. Haven't we seen elsewhere that Rabba bar Barchanan said in the name of Yochanan that they didn't move lo zozu misham ashevi sefer Torah uminom? They didn't leave that place that they were learning until they brought out a sefer Torah and counted up what they were trying to count up, and they came to their conclusion. Rashi says, "Where is this lo zozu misham the dibra maskel?" He says, "Lo yadana. I don't know hecha itma where this is actually said." And you see the famous Gilyan Ashas over here. He points out that we learned this in the Gemara and Brachos, that Rashi, in a number of places, I think it's 26 places in all the Shas, is not afraid to say v'lo yadana. That's, my Rebbeim always taught me, that's one of the most important Rashis that we have, that Rashi is not afraid to say v'lo yadana. Rashi could have just skipped this and said, nobody's going to know that I don't know this. But it's very important for a person to know what he knows. It's just as important for a person to know what he doesn't know. And Rashi is not afraid to say, I don't really know over here, pshat. Lo yadana hecha itma. I don't know where this is said. However, Rashi has a suggestion. Miu Evshe, he says, maybe linyan vav de gachon from last week's parsha. The word gachon has a vav that's written in larger print, and they ask, this is the halfway point in the Sefer Torah, and did they include the vav of gachon in the first half or in the second half? So on that, Rabbi Baruch Hanna said, in the name of Yochanan, let's bring out a Sefer Torah and count up all the letters beforehand. Why didn't they actually able to come to the conclusion? Because the question is, sometimes you have yeseros and chaseros. So therefore, they couldn't easily count it up and say, this is the answer, because some letters are present or not present, and therefore it's not such a simple thing to do. In any event, that's what Abaye tells his Rebbe. Rebbe Yosef, now let's bring out a Sefer Torah and count up how many times the word melacha, melachto, or melechus is there, and we'll see, is this included in the count or not? So Rav Yosef responds to him, no, the problem that I have is, how do we understand the word melachto? That's the famous machlokas, Rav Shmuel. We have another pasuk over here, where it says, at the conclusion of bringing in all the items that they need to make the Mishkan, it says, they had enough donations. Now, is that melacha, mimin yanahu? Is that melacha one of the 39? And therefore, the pasuk over here by Yosef, by Yavo Habayis Lasos Melachto, V'ol Kiman Diomer, that goes like the opinion of either Rav or Shmuel that says Lasos Tzirachov Nichnas, that he came here to Rachmon Lusan have an affair to take care of his needs, Lasos Tzirachov Nichnas, Ol Diomer, he says no. The pasuk by Yosef at Tzadik, V'yavo Habayis Lasos Melachto, Mimin Yonahu. No, that's, he came to do his melacha. And therefore, that's one of the 39. It's not that he came, Rachman al-Islam, to have an affair. He came to the house to do his work. And therefore, the pasuk, v'hai, v'ham lochoi sedayim, that's not part of the minyana. That's just a general statement. Hachi kamar, the shlim lehilu avidasa. That's telling us that the work was done, but it's not talking about work itself. So this is what his kasha was. One of these two is extra, and one of them is needed. He didn't know which one. Was it the one by Yosef that was the needed one, and the one by the Mishkan, Malacha Seidayim, was extra? Or was the other around? From Malacha Seidayim, that was one of the 39. And Vayoba Baislas, so Malachto, that's not referring to Malacha, that's referring to Rachmon Litzlan and Aveira, and it's extra. So therefore, Teiku, we don't know what the answer is. Nevertheless, Gemara tells us, Tanya, command Yomer, Kineged, Avodas HaMishkan, that we have a raya over here to the opinion of Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama that says that it's Kineged, the Avodas HaMishkan. Where's this raya? The Tanya, because we have a brisa. Ein chayavim el amalocha shekayotzi bohaisa b'mishkan. That we have the idea that you're not over on Shabbos and Issa Daraisa, except if it's like one of the malachos that they did in the making of the Mishkan. For example, Haim Zaru, they planted, they needed to plant to make some of the items in the Mishkan. Rashi brings down over here, Litzvoa Techeles, they need the planting over here to go and plant in order to have dyes to color various things, the oros, elim, the hides that they had to dye them. So they needed to plant stuff, and they needed to go and therefore make these dyes. That's the zriya that was necessary in the Mishkan, Haim Zaru, and therefore Vatem Lo Tizru, because they needed to plant in the Mishkan, so therefore you're not allowed to plant on Shabbos. Haim Katsu, they needed to harvest these dyes, Vatem Lo Sikziru, therefore you're not allowed to go and do Kitzira on these dyes. They lifted up the krushim, the boards of the Mishkan, from the ground and put them on the agola. Therefore, the Rishus HaRabim was the ground, and they put it onto the agola, which is Rishus HaYochid. Therefore, we learn out from this activity that they did in the Mishkan that you're not allowed to do this on Shabbos. Similarly, they then took them down from the wagon, which was Rishus HaYochid, to put them onto the ground to set it up. So that's going from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. Therefore, they needed that for the Mishkan. Therefore, you're not allowed to go and do that Malacha on Shabbos. Likewise, hey motziu me'agola yagola, they transfer from one wagon to the top of the other wagon. Vatem lo sotziu me'rishus hayochid l'rishus hayochid. You're not allowed to go take something from rishus hayochid into another rishus hayochid. More questions? This really? That's an issa daraisa. Me'rishus hayochid l'rishus hayochid. My kovid. There's no issa involved. Meet the Raisa, you're allowed to go bring. You don't need an Eruv Chatzeros. You're allowed to go bring from one Rishus HaYochid to another. It's only the rabbis that said you need to have an Eruv Chatzeros to go carry from one person's yard into another person's separate Rishus HaYochid. But meet the Raisa, that's not a problem. So how could you learn out from the Mishkan that you're not going to go from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaYochid when it's not an Issa Raisa? So the simple teretz is Abaye Barava of the Amar Tavayu. They both gave the following teretz. The Tema, others say it was Rav Adda Bar Avu who gave this teretz, that when the Mishkan, you weren't allowed to go from one wagon to another wagon, it's Mishus HaYochid, Rishus HaYochid, but it's going Derech Rishus HaRabim. So even though you don't stop in the Rishus HaRabim, you're going straight from the Rishus HaYochid through the Rishus HaRabim to another Rishus HaYochid. That's the transferring over here of the crushing from one Rishus HaYochid to another Rishus HaYochid. The Hoshata, so that's not allowed. That's what we learn out. So here we have a raya that the Av Melachos are all learned out from the activities that were done in the Mishkan, and nobody really disagrees with that, but that's a raya to the straight-out opinion of Chanina Bachamah that says, Keneged Avodos HaMishkan. Now we go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Begizei Tzemer, you're allowed to go and insulate with Gizei Tzemer, however, they mitaltlin, but you're not allowed to move the Gizei Tzemer. So you can insulate with them, but they're muktzah. Amar Rava, Rava said, Lo shanu, elo shalo toman behen. Rava said, the only time they're muktzah is if you didn't use them for insulation. Stam gizei tzemer are considered muktzah. Avol toman behen, if you did insulate with them, metalta lo son. Of course you're allowed to be metalta to them. They're not muktzah. You're using them for insulation. So Rava qualifies the Mishnah and says, don't read the Mishnah as you're not allowed to move the gizei tzemer that you insulated with. It's two separate statements. The gizei tzemer that you insulate with, you're allowed to move. But gizei tzemer that you didn't insulate with, ain't metalted. You're not allowed to move those. Gemara questions Rava. Esme, the Gemara says, how mi rabbanan bar yome le Rava? One of the rabbanan who was there for his first day, Rashi says, osa yom bal the base medrasho tchila. That was the first day that he was there in the base medrash. And he comes up with a kasha against Rava. Rava said they were only referring to the gizei tzemer that Warren uses insulation. They're the ones that you can't be metalted. But the gizei tzemer that was used as insulation, you can be metalted. So this Talmud on his first day asks Rava the following shayla. He says, it says beferish, tomnim begizei tzemer, vein metalten osan. It says you are allowed in our Mishnah to go and insulate with the gizei tzemer, but you're not allowed to be metalten with them. So, ketzer osa, and our Mishnah explained what you're allowed to do. And we turn to the Nun Amud Aleph. Notel es hakisui, you go and lift the cover off the cholin pot, they know those, and the gizei tzemer fall off. In other words, you're not allowed to go and move them. They're muktzah, even the ones that you use for insulation. Kasha on you, Rava. How can you say that? So Gemara says, you're right. Rava was misquoted. Eliyitmar, hochiyitmar. If Rava made a statement, this was his statement. Amar Rava, Rava said, lo shanu, we only said this over here, elo shalo yichadon lihatmona. Only time you're not allowed to go and move them is if you didn't designate them for atmana. Abo yichadon lihatmona. If you did designate them for atmana, mitautlin osan, then they are not muktzah and you're allowed to go and use them. So it all depends on your designation. If you designated them for atmana, then you're allowed to move them. And if you didn't designate them, then they're muktzah. And it namanami, we have the same statement that was made. Kiyosu Rabin, Amar of Yaakov, and Rabin came from Eretz Yisrael. He said over the name of Rav Yaakov, and he said, Amar of Asi ben Shul, Amar Rabbi, lo shanu elo shalo yichadon liyatmona. The only time you're not allowed to move them is if they weren't designated for atmona purposes. Abo yichadon liyatmona. If you designated them for atmona purposes, they're not muktza and metaltlin osam. You are, in fact, allowed to go and move them. That is the understanding of Rava. That's the first understanding of our Mishnah. And tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem, we'll see that Ravina disagrees with this, and he'll have his opinion. But that concludes today's shir.